You've probably heard that Europe is big on privacy. Things like GDPR are supposed to keep companies from rifling through your personal data without a very good reason. But this summer, a law called Chat Control 1.0 quietly slipped back into place in the European Union, giving major tech platforms the legal green light to scan private messages and emails for illegal content, even when there's no warrant or individual suspicion exists. Here's the twist. A majority of the lawmakers who showed up actually voted against extending this mass scanning. And yet, through a procedural maneuver and some very strategic timing, the law survived anyways. And in this video, we'll unpack how Chat Control 1.0 works, how it was revived on the eve of Parliament summer break, and what this means for the privacy of your digital conversations, whether you live in Europe or not. Let's start with what Chat Control 1.0 is. In EU legal language, it's a derogation from the normal e-privacy rules, specifically to allow online platforms to detect and report child abuse material and private communications. Under regular EU privacy law, companies aren't supposed to scan the content of private messages and emails on their own initiative for law enforcement purposes. Chat Control 1.0 carves out an exception. It lets providers voluntarily run automatic scanning systems on direct interpersonal communications to look for this type of abuse material. The law covers things like direct messages on Instagram, Discord, Snapchat, Skype, and Xbox, as well as email sent via Gmail and Apple iCloud. It applies to one-on-one chats and group chats, but not to public posts or already public content. Crucially, this scanning is framed as voluntary. Companies are allowed but not required to scan. Law enforcement agencies still need warrants and other legal orders to demand data from providers, but providers can now legally run these detection tools themselves and pass flagged material to authorities. Chat Control 1.0 was first introduced in 2021 as a temporary measure. The idea was to preserve existing industry practices for child abuse material detection, while a larger, more permanent law, often called Chat Control 2.0, would be negotiated. From the beginning, the proposal was controversial. Child protection advocates argued that scanning tools were essential to find and rescue victims and to stop the spread of abuse imagery online. Privacy groups, including European Digital Rights, warned that scanning private communications at scale is inherently a form of mass surveillance. Fast forward to earlier this year, the original derogation was set to expire on April 3rd, which would have ended the legal basis for voluntary scanning in the EU in March of this year. The European Parliament voted to reject any further extensions of Chat Control 1.0, essentially saying no to continuing mass scanning under the temporary framework. Similar proposals had been knocked down earlier as well, so by spring it looked like Chat Control 1.0 was done. The derogation expired in April, and for a moment, the default EU rule, no suspicious scanning of private communications, was back in place. Then, just a few months later, the story took a turn. In late June, the president of the European Parliament, Roberta Metsola, reopened the file and warned that letting the derogation lapse left a dangerous gap in online child protection. Using an urgent procedure in Parliament's rulebook, the file was sent back for a second reading. Doing this allowed normal committee debate and amendments to be skipped, and the regulation went straight to a plenary vote under special conditions. Instead of needing a simple majority of votes cast to pass or reject, the second reading urgent procedure makes rejection much harder. The regulation is treated as adopted unless an absolute majority of all members of the European Parliament, 50% plus one of the full 720 seats, so 361 votes, actively vote against it. On July 9th of this year, that vote took place. It was scheduled on the very last day before Parliament's summer recess, when attendance is typically lower because many MEPs are already away. Out of 720 members, only 670 actually voted. Of those, 314 voted to reject the extension, 276 voted in favor, and 17 abstained. So among those present, more MEPs opposed Chat Control 1.0 than supported it. But under the urgent second reading rules, that majority wasn't enough. Opponents needed at least 360 no votes to block the law outright, and they fell short of that threshold. As a result, the derogation was revived and extended by default, even though the numerical majority of voting members had voted against it. The same thing happened to a key amendment that would have significantly limited scanning, either restricting it to specific individuals or requiring warrants before scanning. More MEPs voted in favor of that restriction rather than against it. But again, the proposal failed to reach the absolute majority needed, so it did not pass. Critics, including privacy advocates and some MEPs, described this as Chat Control 1.0 coming back through the back door or being rigged through procedural maneuvers because the law survived despite more votes against than in favor. Supporters argue that urgent procedures are legitimate tools for dealing quickly with issues they see as serious public safety risks. So what exactly changed with this extension and what stayed the same? First, major US-based platforms once again are allowed to run suspicious mass scanning of private messages and emails for child abuse materials under EU law until at least April of 2028. Second, extension is explicitly limited to non-encrypted services. End-to-end encrypted message platforms such as WhatsApp, Signal, and iMessage are formally exempt, and the law does not mandate scanning or backdoors to those apps. Third, this law applies to companies, not directly to the police. EU law enforcement agencies still need warrants or other legal authority to compel access to user data. Chat Control 1.0 does not grant them a free pass to mass scan user data themselves. Instead, it opens a legal door for companies to run their own detection tools and forward the suspected materials to authorities. It's also important to note what has not changed. Public social media posts and files hosted in cloud storage, things that are already public in practice, could be scanned before this law and can still be scanned now. And private messages have long been subject to targeted wiretapping or surveillance when a court issues an order. European-based messaging and email providers have generally not implemented these voluntary scanning measures, positioning privacy and data sovereignty as competitive advantages. The revived derogation nonetheless creates a framework where big global platforms can normalize scanning of private communications for certain categories of illegal content. Even with this in mind, there's some real concerns that privacy experts have raised. First, function creep. Once mass scanning infrastructure exists for one category of content, in this case child abuse material, there's a risk it could eventually extend to other types of content, such as protest materials through future legal changes. That's not happening under Chat Control 1.0 today, but it's a path privacy advocates worry about. Second, the chilling effect. When people know their private messages and emails on mainstream platforms are being scanned by algorithms, even if it's for legitimate purposes, they may be less willing to share sensitive information, whether it's about their health, sexuality, political organizing, or whistleblowing. This concern comes up repeatedly in commentary from civil rights groups. Third, normalization. The longer voluntary mass scanning remains in place, the more it becomes part of the normal baseline of what digital communication looks like. That makes it easier to politically argue for expanding the scanning in future laws, or harder for privacy-preserving platforms to compete if users start to expect built-in content policing. Fourth, cross-border impact. For global platforms, implementing scanning systems to comply with EU rules can influence how they architect their services globally. Even if scanning is confined to EU accounts and code, design decisions made for one major market often spread elsewhere over time. These are plausible concerns, but they're not predictions. They reflect what experts see in other areas of surveillance and content moderation where similar tools are normalized. And here's a couple things that you can realistically do to protect your private communications. First, know which of your tools are end-to-end encrypted and which are not. If you use WhatsApp, Signal, or iMessage, your core chats are currently exempt from Chat Control 1.0 scanning under EU law. If most of your sensitive conversations happen on Instagram DMs, standard Gmail, or Discord, those are in the category that can be scanned. Second, consider separating out your communications. You might choose to keep casual conversations on mainstream non-encrypted platforms while moving truly sensitive conversations about health, finances, journalism, or activism to encrypted messengers. This doesn't eliminate risk, but it reduces your exposure to voluntary content scanning. Third, support evidence-based advocacy instead of clickbait. Groups like the EDRI and the EFF are pushing for child protection laws that are effective but still respect fundamental rights, and they're doing so using legal analysis and technical expertise. If you want to get involved, they often provide resources for contacting lawmakers or understanding upcoming votes. Fourth, If you live in the EU, know your representatives. The votes we've discussed today hinge not just on party positions, but on who was present in the room under an urgent procedure. Contacting your representatives about how they use these tools, especially procedural ones, can be as important as asking how they vote on the substance. And finally, if you're outside the EU, watch the debate. Similar proposals to weaken encryption or to expand scanning have appeared in the US, the UK, and other countries. What happens with the Chat Control 1.0 and Future 2.0 fight will shape how lawmakers elsewhere argue for or against these measures. Please subscribe and let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Thank you.